Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show!
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the rail.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
Give it up for the DP.
You're listening to Atomicast.
It's all about me.
Shy kids.
Orange Room.
More Life Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host, that's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and happy holidays. This is Antisocial Gamer Radio, live on morelikeradio.com, as it usually is, every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern. And as usual, I will be talking about computer games for the next 2 hours. Welcome to the show, people. Happy holidays to all you, whatever your religious beliefs and all that bollocks. Things are good, things are bad. My mum came round the other night with a bottle of whiskey, and I am started drinking that, and I've got like a nice bottle of nice long glass of whiskey and Pepsi right next to me, which I will be drinking from, and I'm already starting to feel a bit buzzed. But yeah, so welcome to the show, people. I have been playing some few bits and pieces, but I'll get into the usual pleasantries beforehand. If you do want to Skype in, it's Antisocial Game Radio. It's all one word on Skype. You want to like us on Facebook, go to facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. Also, join the Facebook group, because literally, I mean, next week it's the Game of the Year show. And basically, you've got like 1 week to tell me what the best games you've been playing this year are and what you're looking forward to seeing next year. Basically, to do that, you go facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. And also, you can follow the show on Twitter by going to at @MLRGamerRadio. Basically. I mean, I was running a bit dry and I'll drink. But yeah, I have been playing a few bits and pieces. I've got a couple of new games. One, well, sort of. I'll get into the main thing so far. I've sort of given up playing Dragon Age. Yeah. I was very hyped up for the game. I was very hopeful that it was going to be, something that I would enjoy playing. I played it. I had fun with it. I mean, I killed that big, great big dragon, which I told you about last week. But it's just, I'm skipping through the audio and the dialogue. I just didn't care enough. I don't know how to explain it. I just sort of was playing it to play through it. I was really hyped for it. I thought this game looks great. It looks amazing. It does. It looks great. It plays great. But the story was just doing nothing for me. It was weird. I mean, I had the same thing with this one that I had with Assassin's Creed. It's like Assassin's Creed played great. It looked great. I mean, it's usual problems that Assassin's Creed does, which after several years now, they still haven't figured out. But with this one, I just wasn't invested in the story enough to actually give a shit about what was going on. So basically, I just stopped. And I'm probably going to sell it and, move on. But, it was fun. I mean, I really tried to get involved. I mean, I loved the first one. I didn't really bother playing the second one. But, I mean, this one had stuff, but it just didn't pull me in enough to make me want to give a shit about it. So basically, I just stopped and I put it down and haven't played it since. That's pretty much it on Dragon Age. I literally stopped. I haven't played it since and probably never going to go back to it. Other stuff I have been playing, I did get my copy of Pokemon Omega Ruby, which is going to be my main version, and I'm sort of over halfway through. I've, been playing, how much have I been playing? I think I'm at the fifth gym, I think I've got like 5 gym badges, but, I mean, as I'm making this my first, my main game of choice for Pokemon, I'm basically transferring items like your berries, some of the elixirs, there's like 1 or 2 or 3 of them, special items in the game. I'm sort of transferring them across. The berries, as I said, megastones, which I've transferred across. Literally, I found all the megastones that I could in my Alpha Sapphire version, so I've just transferred them across, and all the Pokemon across as well, and basically bits and pieces which will be going here and there. So that I can use my Omega Ruby version as my main version. It does actually feel like this should be the game that you should be playing. This should be the one that it's focused on, because basically the difference between Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire is basically one of them you're with Team Aqua against Magmar, and the other one is you're with Magmar against Aqua. But it does feel more better playing with Omega Ruby as opposed to Alpha Sapphire. I mean, it looks nice. Both games are exactly the same. There's literally no difference whatsoever. But it is a fun game, and I am having tons of fun with it. I'm near the going through it as best I can, trying to fight every single trainer, trying to find every. I'm running around with the I don't know what the hell the items. It's like this treasure finder thing. I'm running around with that on my head, some sort of set of antennas. Trying to find all the items. I did try to start doing the habitat stuff that, try and find all the Pokemon in the area for each route. And then, trying to get all their hidden abilities, that sort of stuff. But, I mean, I'll wait until I finish the game first. I'm not in a hurry to do that sort of stuff until right at the end. But, I mean, I am, I'm thinking about, because, as I said last week, now that we have the VGC rules for 2015... I am looking at teams and thinking about stuff. I mean, I was listening to a bunch of podcasts today, and they were saying, well, use this one, use that one. People are using this one, so counter it with this one. So I'm literally sort of running off strategies and ideas inside my head, trying to think of what to use. I say Pokemon still give me a lot of fun. Trying to sort of race through it a bit to get to the end so that way I can focus on getting all the Megastones, items, enough money, that sort of stuff. I mean, I transferred Nuggets, big nuggets, pearls, big pearls, stardust, all the basically items that are useless unless you sell them for big money. And I made myself like 140,000 Poke Dollars or whatever the currency is. And that made me happy because, such a... it's weird. I mean, with X and Y, you could go through the Elite Four again and again and again. But with the Aureus, it's you basically go through it the first time to beat it. And then you have to go for it a second time, and the Pokemon you're fighting of the Elite Four and the Champion are like 20 levels higher. So basically, you've got to make sure that you're leveled up. And basically, I just use my level 100 Pokemon from X and Y. But yeah, I say it is a lot of fun, and I am enjoying it. And, you know, I will be glad when I have finished it. That way I can sort of move on, do other bits and pieces, you know, work on my team for VGC, which probably won't start until February, I reckon. I mean, I have no idea when VGC is next year over here in England, but I'm guessing, I don't know, May, June would be somewhere nice around that time. As long as it doesn't clash with the live event, I'm not too fussed. If it does clash, then I won't be going to Nationals, but, you know, because literally all my money's paid for on the live event anyway, which is April 25th in Lakeland, Florida, starting from 8:30 till midnight. It's going to be really good. You know, as soon as we get a few more details to get together and, you know, a plug, you know, a bit of a break audio from it, we'll be playing that, but that's not for a while. But yeah, so Pokemon's something I have been playing to and from work and sometimes indoors, but I did, you know, sort of cave a little bit and I bought myself this. I bought Grand Theft Auto 5 from a PlayStation 4. Even though I had it on my Xbox 360 and I played for it like nearly twice, I am playing for it again on my PlayStation 4. And it's fun. It is really fun. I mean, it does feel, yes, I've done this before, because yes, I had done this before. So basically, I'm not in a hurry to go through the whole game. I mean, I did, you know, I was off this weekend, so I sat down, stole a plane, one of those jet planes. I flew around the whole island, opening up the map so that basically I can see where I'm going now, which made it easier. Just did bits and pieces. I did stuff that I hadn't done before in the game. I mean, I played a bit of tennis. That was quite fun, actually. I might just do that a bit more and just to mess around and pass the time. Because, I mean, when I did the main story stuff the first two times, the side mission stuff, I never really bothered with. I mean, the racing, I'm probably not going to bother with once I've done this one race, because the racing is so annoying and tedious. But, you know, playing golf, I did some of that, which was quite fun. Played, you know, I did tennis. You know, I just sort of doing the bits I never got around to doing. You know, I mean, there's this one part of the game where you play as Michael and you're doing the yoga. I might try and do some more of that. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I just bits and pieces I hadn't done. I, you know, played it differently. I mean, we have this new first person mode feature, which I gave a go of, and it was interesting. It felt very clunky. It didn't feel Grand Theft Auto-ish, if that's, you know, but it felt interesting to use. I think interesting is the best word to use to describe it, because it is interesting. I mean, it doesn't feel like you're fully in control, but you've got more of too many controls, if that's the way to explain it. But it was interesting to do. I mean, I did a bit of the first story mission, where you basically, it's like 9 years ago, you're robbing some place for money, and I did that in first person. That was okay, but it just felt a bit weird, really. I did a bit of it. I'm not really that interested, to be honest, in going for it as a first person shooter, even though, you know, you can do it like that. But I'm more interested in just sort of doing probably like the flying in first person. I mean, I'm looking forward to sort of jumping, stealing a fighter jet and going first person in that, and then just flying around and destroying shit and having fun with it. But when it comes to other bits and pieces, I'm really not that fussed. You know, I'm happy to be third person driving, third person running around and shooting stuff. That's fine with me. I mean, you know, it's nice that they added this feature. I mean, I know some people have said the same thing to me. It's nice, but it just feels a bit different in a bad way. Not sort of different in a positive way, which is, you know, how it came across when we got all the trailers and we found information that you can go first person with it. But yeah, I mean, other stuff in the game, I mean, I haven't really noticed too much of the improved graphics. I mean, I've seen other animals and stuff. I mean, I haven't really explored too much of the wilderness to see many of these new animals that we're supposed to get. But I mean, I don't know if they were in there before, but I mean, I did one of the missions where it's basically Franklin and Lamar have to go to this garage and basically steal a bike. And there was like cats running around, which I thought was quite cool. But yeah, it's just stuff I've seen already and experienced already, and, you know, stuff I know already. But yeah, it was fun, and I'm enjoying it. I'm playing it through. I'm not in a hurry to play through it, to rush it, because I say it's stuff I've done before, so there isn't really anything new to show me. But you know, once I've got out of the main city, explored the woods, and hopefully I'll take full advantage of seeing all these new improved graphics, leaf textures, more animals, grass, that sort of stuff. You know, it'll be something I do, but until then, I'm just playing for it to have some fun. As I say, I'm doing the side mission stuff. It's just basically just playing stuff to have fun with it. But yeah, that's about it. But it's not much. It's weird. I mean, next week we have the Game of the Year show. So basically, make sure you listen to this now. Make sure you get yourself in the forums or email me, antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk, and basically tell me what you've been playing and you want to, you know, you saying, well, this is my Game of the Year, and for 2015 I'm looking forward to this, 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 and that. But yeah, I say there's a whole bunch of stuff, you know, to come out next year. I mean, I'm looking at bits and pieces. I'm looking at Dying Light, you know, Batman, the new Assassin's Creed, which is set in London, which is going to be sweet. But you know, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. I mean, the architecture style in from Victorian England and France are pretty much a similar sort of thing, minus the big giant cathedrals. But yeah, it does look like it's going to be a good game. But we'll wait until the summertime when we get E3 and GDC and Tokyo Game Show and all that sort of stuff before I start talking about all that. But I say, as it's you know, the holiday season, you know, Christmas is what, 2 days away. Let's find some Christmas topics. And as usual, the people at Games Radar, they helped me out with this. Here we go. Saw these articles, so it's actually quite interesting. The 8 most Christmassy games that aren't actually set at Christmas. Yes, here we are. Christmas is for life, not just for Christmas. If Hallmark Christmas movies are always hammering one point home, aside from the fact that cute female elves on sabbatical will always run into a disaffected but good at heart businessman to fall in love with, it's that the spirit of Christmas is bigger and more important than any concrete surface trappings. And so it is with games. While some have Christmas settings or the odd Christmas level, at least the longer term nature of playing a game means that compared to films, they don't lend themselves as well as to overt seasonality. There we are. Yeah, seasonality. But this is there is a solution. Evoke the feelings of Christmas without specifically being a Christmas game. You might not notice at first, but it happens in plenty of them. Loads of them, in fact. So I've collected together 8 of the best, furtively festive offerings for your persuasive pleasure. Forget those quick-made cash iOS efforts. Fire up these over the holidays, and you'll be a ho-ho-hoing with the best of them. all right, let's have a look. What have they got? I've got one on this list which isn't part of the list. Well, no, I've got one in my head, sorry, that's not part of this list. And it did make me think of, you know, the sort of, you know, Games Master playing this and that sort of stuff. Batman Arkham City is really Christmassy because, while not actually set during the during the season, a point later emphasised when prequel slightly inbred cousin Arkham Origins specifically set its... I'll keep your tongue tied. Arkham Origins specifically set its precision of crime-fighting glitches on Christmas Eve. Arkham City feels exceptionally festive despite all the grim, dark misery at play. I think it's because it basically comes down to the fact that between the snow and the more colourful, Burton-esque bits of production design in the city's prison centre, the whole thing frequently feels like Batman Returns, i.e. the third best Christmas film ever made after Scrooge and Die Hard, and slightly above Gremlins. In fact, it's rather telling that Warner Montreal's more explicitly Christmassy prequel actually feels less so, despite all the baubles and tinsel on show. It could be a case of diminishing returns through repetition. That would be a shame, after all the wintry themes in Origins were all important and a committed design choice. Not just an excuse to reuse as many of the city's assets as possible for a quick turnaround, definitely not that they were important. But to be honest, though, I mean, the whole thing with the Batman games with Arkham City was they had all the snow as a way of, you know, basically, you know, with the last generation consoles, you couldn't basically have all the you know, people running around in the city. Considering this was basically, it was the prison area, they had to sort of have a reason to have the people blocked off. But I would say that you know, Arkham Origins is more of a Christmas game, even though as well it is set at Christmas and you do have the more snow, and it is set, you know, other parts of the city. But I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting choice what they said here, but we'll move on. There we go. Super Mario 64. It's really Christmassy because cool mountain, the slightly alpine look of the whole level, all cozy wooden huts, icicles, ski lifts, and mountain bridges, amplified to a delirious level of wholesome festive joy by the jaunty European vibe of giddy accordion soundtrack. Also, coin collection noise, subliminal sleigh bells. The fact that some smart devoting... What's that? Devoting of aesthetics right there. Though that shouldn't be a surprise, this is a Nintendo game after all, and Nintendo is effectively the video game Disney. As such, winter stuff is automatically elevated to full-blown Christmas joy, and Christmas itself must be treated with all the benevolent magic of a friendly wizard with an infinite hospitality budget. This vibe, unsurprisingly, continues through pretty much all the Snow Mario levels from Super Mario 64 onwards. Yeah, I can agree. I mean, when it comes to stuff like this, pretty much with any game, once they have a snow level, then it becomes very Christmassy-based. You know, it's like a desert level, sort of summer holidays, that sort of stuff. You know, it's the way it works, basically. If you're going to have a game with multiple levels encountering different bits, you know, it does that. Next, we have The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. The whole Snow Peak section of Twilight Princess is 150% perfect. Condensed evocation of a Christmassy day out in the snow. First of all, there's the giddy fun of the snowboard ride down the mountain. That's your childhood afternoon sleighing. That is, then there's entry to Snow Peak ruins and the discovery that it's not a traditional abstract Zelda dungeon, but a cozy family home complete with the most wonderful recreation of an open fire that video games in fact science itself could possibly ever produce. That's coming. That's your homecoming to a warm sofa and a nice mug of cocoa. Then there's the way the contrast is repeated as the dungeon design demands that you frequently go out into the crisp frost grounds before returning back inside. Nothing emphasizes the festive coziness more than repetitively going out into cold places, then back into warm places. And hey, you even get a present along the way. And what kid hasn't wanted a giant wall-crushing flail for Christmas at some point? I'm just thinking about other stuff on this list that they don't have. Well, here we go. This will tie into it. I'll read this one first. Next one, SSX 3. Snow plus festival, festival atmosphere equals Christmas each and every time. Well, not every time. A freak blizzard around the main stage at the Black Metal Fest wouldn't feel particularly Christmassy. Darkly epic with all the terrible Nordic Majestic 1080s album covers, certainly, but not Christmassy. But in SSX's case, when the festival vibe is that of a cool, fun community who seems to be permanently off work, hanging out and partying in an upbeat celebration of all things snow, with fireworks and neon standing in for fairy lights, throw in a boys' choir, glockenspiel cover of NERD's Rockstar, which I have on my iPod, and the picture is complete. Yeah, I agree, actually. But yeah, so snowboarding, here we go. I was thinking of, you know, Final Fantasy VII in the Golden Saucer, the snowboarding game, that little mini game. That makes me feel very Christmassy when I play that. And the fact that we're getting, you know, Final Fantasy VII back next year as for the PlayStation 4, sort of not HD remake or whatever, but it's, you know, it's the PC port. I get to play some snowboarding again, which will be really fun. But yeah, that's one of my things on my list. But let's go on next one to the next one. Which actually ties in because it's Final Fantasy VI, which I really need to play. If it wasn't for the frequent Imperial occupation and impending end of the world, Narsh would be the perfect quiet Christmas getaway. It's a small, unspoilt... it's small, it's unspoilt, it's discreet, and good Lord, it's a delightfully little snug little place to hole up in. All those coal and log burners warming the place up and filling the air with the soft billows of smoke and steam. The big picturesque, eminently snow mountains behind it, which frame the town beautifully while also sheltering it from the worst of the northern storms. Here we go. Yeah. And curiously, like all of Final Fantasy VI, Narsh is a steampunk as steampunk as it gets. And now, and as we all know, that puts it one step away from Victoriana, and therefore, but two steps away from the most canonically Christmas period in human history. But yeah, I mean, there was. I'm trying to think what the game is that I played. One sec. Oh, it's nice Pepsi and whiskey. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think what the game is I played. I don't think it was... what the hell was that? Tales of the Abyss? I think it might have been that one. There was some RPG that I played, and there was like a casino. It was set in the north. It might have been Tales of the Abyss. And they had like it was like a sort of snowy region, and there was a casino in it, as I basically just said. But it was quite fun, and it did feel have that sort of Christmassy vibe. But to be honest, though, any sort of place that's... you know, covered in snow does give you that Christmassy vibe and makes you feel like that. Condemned, Criminal Origins. Call it the consumerist death trance of the human soul if you like, but the pre-Christmas trawl around the shops can be an integral ritual in the run-up to the main event. Pick the right day, leave your misanthropy at home, and all the pervading glow of red and gold cheer emanating from those shop windows can really kickstart the excitable, fun-loving spirit. If only by firing up the instinct that you that had you standing in the game shop, ogling the Super Mario World demo for hours on end for much of that December when you were a kid. The original Condemned understands the importance of all that. That's why, despite not being set at Christmas, the Bart's department store level inhabits a Christmas time warp. The long dilapidated shop having gone under the festive period many years before, and still filled with trappings of the happiest time of the year, and murderous crackheads, human mannequins, and casually disarmed firearms. Merry Christmas, everyone! I did play Condemned. I think I played Condemned 2. I didn't get that much far into it, but anyway. Here we go. Elder Scrolls V, Skyrim. It's really Christmassy because the entire region of Skyrim is made of snow. Fir trees, fire, roasting meat, and every third person you meet looks like Santa. Scandinavian accents in Skyrim. Yeah, well, you must have been playing a different Skyrim to me. And there's that whole Christmas skeletal dragon connection too. Yeah, that, I can see that one. What you don't know, seriously, you'll be telling me you've never heard of the Easter unicycle night next. Definitely Skyrim. I mean, the big disappointment for me with Skyrim is the fact that it was set up north and there was be no more of these big cities, but the game was perfect. It fit the land and fit the whole atmosphere, and yeah, it did give off a very Christmassy vibe that, you know, you go high up into the mountains, and it did make me cold as well, you know. You're running out of food or whatever items, and you know, you're trying to play the game, but you get all these, you know, snowy Christmassy vibes, and you know, keep going through trying to get out the cold, and you know, it was good. It was very atmospheric and basically did what it's supposed to have done. I can click on the right thing. Here we go. Yeah. Professor Layton and the Azran Legacy. Just look at the state of Fronborg. The place is one big inhabited Christmas cake. It's buildings carved from the finest spiced sponge. It's snow, a veritable heap of deliciousness, sweet icing, and that's before you even see it from the air. Also note that it's technically ensconced with Russia. Level 5 gave Frongberg a distinctly COD Scandinavian name regardless, that shows nothing but the studio's tireless commitment to Christmasness in the face of oppression. Geographical logic, it matters to them Goddammit, it's a metaphor in there somewhere, and how Santa, and if Santa can be everywhere in one night, Christmas can as well, or something, but probably definitely that. I mean, I try to get into the preface of Lazy Games, but I never really bothered. So that's pretty much the whole eight of this, but I was thinking about, I think it was Clay Fighters 3D, where basically two of the fighters were a snowman and Father Christmas. I mean, I remember watching this back in, you know, years, so I'm going back 20 years now. I'm really showing my age. With Games Master, and they would have the, you know, the Christmas special where with those two beating the shit out of each other. You know, God, I miss Clay Fighters. I never played it. I just like watched videos of it. But, you know, really fun game. Had by all, you know. Here we go. Next one is, it's a Christmassy thing from Games Radar. These seven video game characters would be awesome as Santa. This could be interesting. It really could. Hurry down the chimney, yeah. When Eartha Kitt rudely requested Santa to come and trim her Christmas tree in the multi... what the hell's that word? Entredeered? Festive tune. She clearly wasn't picturing the strange assortment of strange in stand-ins below to dive... down her chimney, possibly. These widows range from a fat megalomaniac to a time-controlling cat to a mournful spider lady, but they share a common trait. They'd all be awesome as Father Christmas. So let's get into this list. Who we got here? The opening picture is Marcus Fenix as with the hat, Santa hat on. Here we go. Oh, sorry for me. Professor Oak from Pokemon. That's what the... I'm not going to read that bit. It's stupid. Imagine a... Oh. God, my throat is really running dry. Imagine a new Pokemon for every girl or boy on Christmas morning. Transporting them wouldn't be too hard for Oak. He'd only need to grab a few hundred Pokeballs and toss them out to bug catchers, campers, youngsters, lasses of Kanto. He could even ride a sleigh pull by dealing a Stantler. And for the naughty kids, give them a lump of Torkoal. Oak would have competition, though. See Santa actually exists in the Pokemon universe. First appearing in the anime episode Holiday Hijinks, where he employs an army of Jinx to prepare presents for the children. I watched that episode. It's not bad, actually. I might have to watch it again, as it's, you know, Christmas time. Oh, that's better. God, my mouth is so dry tonight. All right, next one. Let's have a look. What have we got here? Let's have a look. Here we go. Who's that? Quileg from Dark Souls. I've never got that far, so, you know. Well, from the original Dark Souls, I didn't think I got past, like, the second or third bonfire, I think. A big part of the whole Christmas Santa experience revolves around knees. More specifically, kids sitting on knees, explaining what they want for Crimbo. And annoyingly, old Kris Kringle has only two of them. Weak, whatever your thoughts on the man are, but let's be honest, he's a diverse character. That's pretty disappointing. This is why Chaos Witch Quileg from Dark Souls would be an excellent stand-in, because with a whopping eight legs hosting 16 hairy knees, she would boost knee-sitting frequency in Lordran tenfold. That's simple science. She's not very child-friendly, what with her vicious nature and toplessness, but give her a kid, give your kid an Estus flask and to chug on and take them away from before she starts spewing fire, and they'll be all right. Probably. Her home of Blighttown contains many suitable gifts, including a plank shield, pyromancer robes, and the extra special tin of banishment catalyst, as well as a bunch of friendly faces to help her deliver them, from giant mosquitoes to bloated leeches to the old festive favourite, the parasites, wall hugger. There we go. All right, what's the next one? Let's have a look. Okie dokie, here we go. Helps if I click it. Oh, here we go. From Zelda. Yeah, Tingle. Tingle bells indeed. This notorious middle-aged ferryman comes festively dressed as standard. What with his tasteful all-green bodysuit? Well, I'm sure you could have Rock Lee and... can't remember the other one. From Naruto. Probably could be, actually. Simply dye his wispish hazel hair white, and he'll be spitting image of old Saint Nick. Old Tingle's a cartographer, so he already knows where all Hyrulean children live in a non-creepy way. And he travels by way of the ultra-safe, conveniently hot air balloon, which allows him to drop rupees into the wallets of fairy boys and girls everywhere. See, Tingle loves collectibles of all kinds in Four Swords Adventures. It's Force Gems, and in the Minish Cap, it's Kinstones. So his sack would definitely possibly be bursting. His generosity takes on darker implications when you couldn't when you consider that in the DS game, freshly picked Tingle Rosie Rupee Land, it's explained Tingle needs rupees to live. Does Tingle have a death wish? So, you know. I don't know. I know of Tingle, right? But I've never played any of the Zeldas with him in it. Even though, I mean, I never played... I think... Just hang on. Let me look back over this article. Yeah, Minish Cap I had. I must have found it somewhere. Or someone gave it to me. I had a copy of the Minish Cap. I might still have it, to be honest. But I don't think I had Four Swords Adventures. But yeah, I do know of the character. Oh, this one I haven't seen in a while. Blinks. Blinks the Time Sweeper. Einstein famously disproved the existence of Father Christmas when he selfishly declared that nothing can run travel faster than the speed of light, not even Santa. But hold on a merry minute. Did Einstein ever mention a time-controlling cat called Blinks, who's able to alter the so-called immutable laws of the universe? No, he certainly did not. Start of the 12 years old. Start of the 2002 Xbox platformer, and another in 2004. That was even worse. Well, what do you expect? This tuna-crazed temporal tabby is billed as the world's first 4D action hero. Wow, so many shitty cat puns, which I will totally ignore. Yes, he had a vacuum cleaner that can slow, stop, reverse, and fast forward the very fabric of time. Hey, Einstein, imagine how useful that would be at delivering presents. Let's just hope that Blinks doesn't use his powers for evil, like freezing time and stripping everyone naked. Okie dokie, let's move on. Sometimes it makes me wonder the shit I read about, you know, I'm sitting here doing this for free and these arseholes are getting paid to pull up with this bullshit. It's really weird. Oh, here we go. Something interesting. Wario from the Mario series. Okay, so Wario is less of a Santa and more of a Grinch, shaking down fools for treasure, shrewdly managing a microgame making company, and in Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins, even tricking poor Mario out of his castle and taking hard drugs in the throne room. But what if the greasy idiot used his powers of greed for good? Why? He'd be able to give children the world of a give the children of the world a positively golden shout. Positively golden shower of unimaginable riches. You can get in trouble for that these days. Positively contributing to the formation of a new 1% and removing the secret elite lizard men from their seals of power. Someone's been watching too much fucking... damn it, fuck, I remember that idiot's name. Jesse Ventura, there we go. Plus, he's got an awesome assortment of fast-ass vehicles, including 2 cars, a tractor, a plane, a bike, on which to deliver presents. Obviously, he couldn't ride them all at once, but we're sure he could recruit his WarioWare mates to like Cat, Spitz, Mona, to help out. Also, his good buddy Dr. Krygor, half-robot, once fixed Wario's GBA, so it's extremely likely he'd know how to program an advanced AI into these vehicles so they could drive themselves. Yeah, that sort of turns into basically Cyborg Superman and Team Knight Rider. Here we go. Faith from Mirror's Edge. I'm pretty sure celebrating Christmas is banned in the dystopian whitewashed city of Mirror's Edge, but then the man tells you not to run fast or scare pigeons or kill people in cold blood with a series of deadly firearms, and Faith does it anyway. Because she's rebelling against the system, barring a poor but bit of... Oh, where was I? Yep, bit of poor... shit. Barring a poor bit of signposting or amateur-grade level design or something, nothing would stop our nimble ninja from delivering your presents speedily. Provided they are not a tiny bit heavy, you'd need to ask for an iTunes gift card or some stamps, Something like that could fit in a bum bag. Nope, no low-hanging pipe, steam vents, nor small jumpable gap was standing Faith's way. And let's not forget her loyal band of runners, just as fast but a touch more forgettable, who'll no doubt help her with her haul. Careful though, because one or more of them are bound to betray her at some point. That just makes for a better narrative. Oh, that's better. Oh, jeez. I think this whiskey's drying me out. Oh, might have to get myself some juice after the break. Oh, here we go. Mike Hagar from Final Fight. Santa's whole mythology is based on him making snap judgments about people. Oh, yeah, you've been naughty. You've been nice. You don't even know me. God, this is so bullshit to read. But I'm doing it anyway. Who made you the world's most adjudicator? People don't get tattoos with only God can judge me and also Santa. It just seems a bit of a dick move to be dealing in absolutes, especially around Christmas. Luckily that Mike Hagar's whole spiel... that's Mike Hagar's whole spiel, and he does it with a lot more class. But he's the mayor as well, so... From the Final Fight series, from the Final Fight series, the former professional wrestler turned mayor rules over Metro City with an iron fist and a wax chest and a class moustache. If you're naughty, like the Mad Gig Gang who kidnap Hagar's daughter and send house prizes in the area plummeting, Hagar won't just shove a lump of coal in your face, but a signature reverse elbow. And if you've been nice, expect a platter of delicious pavement turkey and a confiscated blade or two. Merry Christmas. All right. Is that the last one on the list? I think it might be. Who else we got next? Oh, yes, it is. But yeah, I just sort of thinking like myself, like other Christmassy characters. God, I don't know. I'm just trying to think sort of who would be great out of... I don't know. Agent 47? Would he be good for as a good Santa? He could sneak around your place and get you all the presents without you noticing. He'd probably kill all the naughty children as well. But yeah, trying to think about all the different characters that he could be for as a sort of Santa Claus. But I don't know. Oh, God, jeez. All right. Let's move on to some new stuff. There's not much going on, but I have a whole lot of news to get to. So let's do some of that. What we got? Let's have a look first. Let's do some Nintendo stuff until the break time. And then basically I'll take a break. Nintendo, there we are. Working on ideas for the next system, Miyamoto says. After two uncertain years, it looks like Nintendo is finally finding some momentum for the Wii U. But there's no time to dwell. The company has already set multiple teams to work on building successor, according to Nintendo producer and director Shigeru Miyamoto. Nintendo told the Associated Press that the company is set on making a robust lineup of Wii U software for the next year. He would say that, wouldn't he? They're not just idle reassurances. Though between Star Fox Wii U, which it's weird. I mean, I was just looking on Facebook earlier, and Royce has got himself a Wii U. I might have to get myself a Wii U. I mean, I'm thinking about this, right? There's more incentive for me to buy a Wii U than actual Xbox One. But with Zelda and Star Fox and Mario Kart, I might have to sort of, you know, pick myself up a Wii U eventually. But, you know, yeah, I'd say that. I'd say there's probably more incentive for me to get a Wii U than an Xbox One, and say Star Fox, Zelda, Mario Kart. There's a couple of other things that are actually in the game library that are worth playing, but all we need now is a decent Pokemon game on it. And that would make my day. That really would. Another project. It looks like 2015 could be the best year to own a Wii U. But what about after that? For the time being, our focus is on the Wii U hardware, but Nintendo as a whole has groups working on ideas for new hardware systems, Miyamoto says. While we're busy working on software for the Wii U, we have production lines that are working on ideas for what the next system might be. I was just thinking about, I might have to get myself a Wii U sometime. I mean, there's a whole bunch of Pokemon stuff on there. That's Pokemon Pinball, which is on the Wii U virtual store, which I might have to pick up. I'll carry on reading. He has also hinted that whatever follows the Wii U will be home to the next big Mario game, where the plucky plumber might take on a new role. Remember that the job listing for the lead graphics architect that came up in October looks like Nintendo's pretty serious about the life after its gamepad-toting console. I don't know. I'll just finish off this article before I carry on talking. I wouldn't expect too much information soon. Nintendo might clip Wii U's wings by stoking anticipation for a new system too early on, but still, it's best get started on the 25 best Wii U games if you haven't already. So that's something for me to look at when I do get around to thinking about buying a Wii U. I mean, I've no idea how much they cost these days anyway. I mean, they must be pretty cheap because, well, no one else is buying Wii U's, to be honest. Let's have a look next. Here we go. Yeah, Amiibo cards. Amiibo cards may provide unlocks for retired figures, says Miyamoto. Players will still have a way to unlock items with discounted toys. Nintendo Shigeru Miyamoto has suggested that gamers who aren't able to buy certain Amiibo toys before they're discontinued may have alternate ways to access content they unlock in the future. Here we go. The first wave of Amiibo figures may have been an unexpected success for the company, with some of the collectors scrambling to find the rarer figures in order to complete their collection. Nintendo has confirmed that in the past that some of the less common characters will eventually be discontinued and replaced with newer Amiibo, leading to fears that not only will some collections remain incomplete, but some in-game content will remain locked. Since specifically Amiibo figures can unlock specific content, the concern is that should a game offer new content, for example, Marth is used, though those with no way to purchase Marth will be able to access it. However, Miyamoto has told ABC News that there may be some alternatives, such as the Amiibo cards that were previously hinted at by Miyamoto. The Amiibo cards. Wow, God, trying to say all these bloody words together is a pain in the ass. He says, we're not making promises for certain figures, but the way Amiibo is designed is that certain games can have Amiibo specifically for that game. Other games can take advantage of the past Amiibo that developers make that want to make their games compatible with. In the future, we have the option, if certain Amiibo figures are no longer available in stores, to release Amiibo in card form with the same functionality. But to be honest, though, why don't you just do that in the first place instead of, you know, all this bullshit card stuff? That would make it so much easier. Let's have a look. God, my throat is really killing me. Maybe I've got a cold coming on or something. Oh, God. I really don't want another cold this time of the year anyway. No, I just read that pretty much. Let's go to something different. That's second. Go, get out the bloody way. Fucking IGN arseholes with your videos. Here we go. Let's have a look. Here we go. More bullshit. There we go. Pause the video from IGN. You'll be able to share your levels with others in Mario Maker. In an interview with popular YouTuber iJustin, I have no idea. Oh, Justine, I have no idea who the fuck that is. I love it when it's like popular YouTuber, YouTube star. You're a fucking nobody. Now fuck off. Miyamoto talks a bit about playing with other people's courses or others playing yours. He says, you'll be able to see what happens when other people play your course, says Miyamoto. I just read that fucking shit. Why did they bother? I don't know. Dumbasses. Let's go on to the next bit. Yeah, Mario Maker was first revealed at E3 2014 and allowed users to create their own Super Mario Brothers style levels set from a set of different items via the Wii U gamepad. An idea Miyamoto says was similar to the creative process for the first Super Mario Brothers. When we were working on the original first NES Mario game 30 years ago, every level we had to first draw on the paper before we put it into the game. It was a big process, but with Mario Maker, it's a game that where you can design a level, and as you design it, you can jump and play it and try it out. Which it looks interesting, but it's the whole map editor stuff that's, you know, everyone else has been doing for years, and it's now, now a thing done by, Nintendo, I guess, Even though you had, like, Excitebike back in the day, like 20, 30 years ago, with that, you could create your own little tracks. I don't know. I mean, just, do people really want to mess around with Mario, that, the bulk standard stuff? But I don't know, maybe. There's a market for everyone somewhere when it comes to certain things. Let's move on to some other stuff. What we got here? Oh, let's do some Xbox stuff. One second, let's pause that. Lovely. Pandora, Vivo, and more launch on Xbox One. A new set of entertainment apps have arrived on Xbox One, including Pandora, Vivo, Bravo Now, Telemundo Now, and Popcorn Flicks. Several of these apps are region specific. I think pretty much everyone apart from Pandora, I guess. This marks one of the latest batches of entertainment apps to come to Xbox One in 2014, preceded by Twitch, Red X, Stars Play, HBO Go, and several others brought onto the platform throughout the year. It won't, however, be the last. We look forward to bringing you more experience in the future, says team at Xbox Wire. Here's to 2015. The Pandora app is a version of the popular internet radio for Xbox One, available to Xbox Live members only in the US. With Pandora, you can browse musicians, songs, genres, and create your own personalized stations. I mean, everyone knows what Pandora is anyway. Bravo Now is a television streaming app that requires a login for your TV service provider. Granting access to full episodes of the Bravo shows, it's available only on Xbox One in the US. Very much region-specific to the Americans. Telemundo Now is a television streaming app for the American Spanish language television network of the same name. Yeah, everyone knows what Telemundo is, even over here. Let's go on to Popcorn Flicks. Popcorn Flicks is a free, ad-supported streaming movie service available only for Xbox One in the US and Canada. Vivo is a premium music hosting service that includes live music performances and shows in addition to music shows. Vivo's availability for fast surpasses the other apps on the list. It's available to Xbox One users in Australia, Brazil, Canada, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Mexico, Netherlands, New Zealand, Poland, Spain, United Kingdom, and the United States. Basically, it's everywhere. Let's have a look. Here we go. Evolve. Here we go. This will make JJ Stoner happy. Evolve Open Beta coming exclusively to the Xbox One. The Open Beta will kick off at... 6 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 a.m. Pacific Standard, and 11 a.m. in the UK, basically. On Thursday, the 15th of January, which is a Thursday, and will run until the 19th of 2015. Over the course of the first 2 days, players will be able to experience Evolve's core mode, Hunt. make sure I get that right. Which pits 4 hunters against 1 monster. During this time, they will be able to unlock additional hunters and monsters. Things change on January 17th when Xbox One Open Beta players acquire exclusive access to Evolve's dynamic campaign mode, Evacuation. The mode draws on the full array of maps and modes to create an experience with a looser narrative. When we got to grips with Evacuation during IGN first, we really enjoyed what we played, particularly how to it managed to wrangle the game's distinct modes into compelling experience. Evolve also officially unveiled its third monster today, Wraith, a creature with the power to teleport. If you want to know more, we have blah blah blah, hands-on bullshit. Go and see IGN; they've got all this stuff to talk. Evolve is out on the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC on the 15th of February of next year. And I'm not too fussed about Evolve. I mean, I know JJ Stoner, 360 on 420. He's in love with this game so much. I'm not that bothered, really. I mean, I'm not bothered because I haven't really bothered looking into it. But considering that there's not much coming out over the next couple of months that I want to play, apart from like Dying Light and Batman and stuff. But I mean, Batman's not even until the summer anyway. But I'll look this up and I'll find out some bits and pieces. I mean, this could be sort of how I saw Gears of War 2. When I played Gears of War 1, it was great, it was fun, and then I wasn't that bothered. But then we had Gears of War 2 come out, and I was like, wow, this looks amazing. And I got really excited for it, and it was good. But we'll wait and see. Yeah, well, I'll wait and see anyway. Let's go to some Sony stuff. I've still got a few more minutes before break time. If I can just click on the right thing properly. There we go. Sony beefs up the 20th anniversary edition sales system. Big headline. Sales system after thousands you exploit to gain unfair advantage. This is from Eurogamer. Sony has promised to disqualify those who have used an exploit to help them gain an advantage in the race to buy a PlayStation 4's 20th edition console in the UK and beefed up the security of its system. Yesterday, a disgruntled PlayStation fan published an exploit that lets players Sony's PlayStation 4 20th anniversary edition console system and was used successfully this morning. I'm not exactly too sure what the fuck that meant, but let's read on anyway. A widely shared blog post titled Hacking That PlayStation Competition by software engineer Dean Wild details a simple exploit that allowed thousands to get hold of the URL of Sony's supposedly secret application 4 minutes before the official clues were published to social media this morning. This week's Sony made its coveted PlayStation 4 20th anniversary edition console available for sale in limited numbers, and it created a convoluted system that was supposed to allow only PlayStation loyal fans to be in chance with buying the £399 package. The idea was this: Sony set up a website that contains a huge image packed with a video game characters. Then at predetermined times each day, a clue would be tweeted out from Sony UK's Twitter account and Games Twitter account. You need to solve the clue to go back to Sony's website and click on the appropriate character. This would then make a secret form available. The first 100 people to fill out their form each day would be able to buy the console from Game. Jesus Christ, that is convoluted. But it didn't take long for people to pull their resources and share the relevant links as quickly as possible. Yeah, well, it's got the internet. That's making solving the clues redundant. It meant thousands of hopeful buyers were able to submit their entries within minutes of the clue going live, and made it hard for those playing by the rules. It's basically just crowdsourcing, that's all it is. You pull your information together and you see what you get. So upset was Oxford-based software engineer Dean Wild that he had to go at Sony's system publisher and publishing an exploit that lets you gain direct access to the secret form on Games UK's website a few minutes before a clue was tweeted. He says, I published the information because the competition has been a complete scandal with people cheating and sharing the links on Twitter and forums. He said, my goal is to force Sony to shut down this shambles and distribute the consoles in a fairer way, of course. Fairer way. Of course, they might be plug the hole, so don't be surprised if this exploit stops working. Yeah, I mean... Oh, Jesus, this article goes on forever. Okay, here we go. Yeah, the exploit The exploit had the desired effect. This morning at 8 a.m, as planned, Game and Sony tweeted another clue, but many had used the exploit to access the form in the minutes beforehand. Eurogamer has been contacted by a number of these people upset at the situation. One who asked not to be named said the whole thing has been a mess. Server issues, wrong links being displayed for folks doing it properly. The fact that they should not have announced yesterday's winners prior to the morning's competition going live is just a mess. Another said the whole thing reeks of technical incompetence and PR calamity, and it has been brought to Sony Games attention and again and again via social media, but they play on regardless. In response to this morning's activity, Games said it would not consider forms completed before the clue went live, and now Sony has responded, telling Eurogamer it's shored up its system. We launched 20 years of characters. Blah blah blah. That's just fucking website bullshit. Hang on, let me scroll down because just crap in this fucking article. They talk about posting this article, and they've just got all the website for it, and I don't need that fucking shit. Here we go, yeah. So, unfortunately, we are not now aware of some of the users attempting to run programs to reveal the URL early and give themselves an unfair advantage. Users we identify as using these tactics will be disqualified from the process and will continue to be. Since reports of this behaviour surface, we have been adding additional encryptions and will continue to do so in advance of the final clue tomorrow. All eyes now turn on tomorrow at 10 p.m. when Sony and Game will make available 100 more PlayStation 4 20th anniversary edition consoles for the first time. For the last time. God, that's so fucking... Oh, God. What a waste of time. It's a PlayStation 4 that's silver, and it looks like a PlayStation 1. And you want to do some bullshit competition? Oh, what a fucking pain in the arse. It really is. Oh, God. Yeah, just annoying the shit out. I mean, this is... I need a break. I really do. My mouth's getting dry and I'm barely able to breathe. I'll be back in about 10 minutes or so after these messages. I'll speak to you in a little bit.
That combination of and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Well, that's where they started, yeah. But a priest biting another priest's ear off?
Colorado Dickhead said, did you see the dude in Texas who beat the minister to death with an electric guitar? You hear about that?
An electric? What do they don't have? What do they have, a slide guitar down there? They don't have electric guitars down there?
It was Monsignor Hendrix who did it.
Wow.
I just made that up.
Pretty good.
Thanks, Colorado Dickhead.
Father Clapton. Goes ape shit.
Brother Becht.
Friar Ray Vaughan goes ape shit in church, and now it's a big news.
Rabbi Little Richards.
No, we'll go with Keith Richards.
Father Van Halen. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, Eddie Van Halo.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Monday nights, 7 to 10, on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Yeah, we can't sell Betsy's milk to nobody. Absolutely nobody.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You can't sell that milk.
I got pain. It's my hair. Yo, I got pain.
I almost said I got pain.
I'ma smell it.
Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread.
You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
If you're
sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter? Then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra-violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high-stakes, high-flying, and hard-hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra-violent underground.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Listen to More Like Radio every Tuesday night for the answer to this question that's on everybody's lips.
What does the drunk say?
On your fuck. Oof. Ah.
What the drunk say?
I'm not one that judges penises.
Blah, 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 blah.
I can't understand what.
What does the drunk say?
Do it in a bourbon barrel. I am all over the goddamn place. Okay. Oh. Let me,
what the drunk say?
I will fucking do that. I think that's enough of the racism there. Okay.
What does the drunk say?
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I just keep thinking to myself, and it makes me giggle, that every time I hear the story, I imagine it was Ray Romano in the same situation.
Oh.
Oh, Deborah.
Kind of does.
I barely touched her. Come on. Oh. Oh, it was my brother. Look at him. He's bigger than me. Come on. Oh. Come on. Everybody loves me. I got twins. Come on. Oh, let's go Home Depot. Come on.
Fess up, Raymond. You know it was you. They got you on video.
Anybody want soup?
Ma, come on. We're talking over here. Oh, man. I'm dying.
So if you learn anything from Hippo Juice, remember Ray Romano allegedly punched his wife in an elevator.
Right.
We don't report the news accurately. We report half of it. Whatever. It's still news. So fuck you guys. This is more entertaining than some football player.
Listen to the Hippo Juice show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, are you absolute garbage? Let me guess. An alcoholic? A drug addict? When was the last time you were even out of your house? Well, why don't you join us for the Red Show? We're all about personal betterment and self-esteem.
I want to do, maybe like City Meets the Swamp, something. Something.
I hope it ends up with the fucking city getting eaten by a goddamn alligator.
Ambassadors of Peace, at any income level.
That's what we do here. We're all about olive branches.
No, you're a fucking white trash asshole. You're about olive fucking garden, okay?
One thing we don't forget is how important our fans are.
Is there anything more you want to say about any of these cocksuckers that are listening?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
And we recognize the struggles and hardships of our friends.
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, bull.
Oh, my God. What are you doing?
I meant I love you, bro. Get better.
So come join us live Wednesday nights and experience functional substance abuse on The Red Show. Only on More Like Radio.
You're doing some things with Enya, correct?
I hope you end your life. Now get off the microphone while I talk to my pal.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
Hey guys, check out my sweet Chimpokomon doll.
Please, Chimpokomon dolls are so last week.
What? Yeah, dude, don't you know? It's all about the Chimpokomon video game now. Did you bring your special Chimpokomon game controller? Huh? No.
Oh, you didn't get a special Chimpokomon game controller. Jesus Christ.
Chimpokomon, what is primary objective?
To destroy the evil power.
I've got to buy all the Chimpokomon so I can destroy the evil power.
Damn it.
I've got to buy them all. So first I better go to Hawaii and visit Pearl Harbor.
Try to bum the harbor. Ready?
Go. I must buy them all.
We must buy them all.
Try to bum the harbor.
Dude, the video game gave Kenny a seizure. Dude, this game rules.
And welcome back to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. I say it is the second part of the Christmas special. Basically, all the Christmas stuff is over. And I'm the only thing special is me, pretty much. But no, yeah, welcome back to the show, ladies and gents. As I say, I did some Sony stuff before the break, and I have more Sony stuff to talk about. This is from CVG. Gran Turismo 6 updates adds new cars. Yay, and features. Why do I sound like Jeremy Clarkson? I do not know. I always sound like a complete idiot most of the time anyway. Sony has released a Gran Turismo 6 update, introducing new cars and features. The Chevrolet Shapari, the 2X Vision Gran Turismo, and then, wow, is that one car has, what, fucking like six words in it? Jesus Christ. And the Infinity Concept Vision Gran Turismo can be purchased after downloading the game's 1.15 update, or by obtaining a... obtained by completing a lap in a new limited edition, limited time seasonal event. Vision Gran Turismo is a project which sees leading global brands develop concept cars for the series. Okay, there's videos below which I won't play because I doubt we'd be picked up through my system. Sony Soft says updates 1.15 also features. Also includes the following improvements and adjustments. The sorting order of your car list in the garage will now be saved. A notice will now be sent to the messages inbox, users of whom created content within the community area has been removed due to violation of SEN terms of service. Additionally, the patch resolves the following issue. It fixed an issue wherein the camber angles of the cars shown in the feature favorite cars tab. God, bloody hell! My voice is ripping my throat apart. In the favorite cars tab within my page section of the community area was not displayed correctly. To replace the image with the correct one, please upload the new image by deleting the existing one. Share it again with the share favorite car option. Series creator Kazunori Yamamuchi says in October that Gran Turismo 7 will release in 2015 or 2016. So basically, November 2015 until it gets delayed, and then you'll see it in February 2016. Which is interesting, but I have no interest in Gran Turismo. You know, not for years. Let's have a look. What have we got here? What else Sony stuff we got? Here we go. Yes, this is something I might do, actually. Some CVG, free Final Fantasy 14, a Realm Reborn trial available on PlayStation 4. Sample the game for 2 weeks at no cost. Square Enix Europe has launched a free Final Fantasy 14 trial on PlayStation 4. The 14-day trial allows you to play a maximum level of 20 with certain limitations on availability in available in-game activities, although characters can be transferred to the full game if players choose to upgrade. Shitting arseholes. See, it's, you know, I can actually say things right, it's when I'm swearing. If players choose to upgrade after the taster. A Realm Reborn launched on PC and PlayStation 3 in August 2013 and on PlayStation 4 in April of this year. CFG's shit about the review. The first expansion for a Realm Reform titled Haven Sword was announced in October, set for release in spring of next year. It will introduce a new playable race, a brand new jobs, and increase the level cap to 60, among other features. The Final Fantasy XIV's game director said in June that he's keen to release the new game on Xbox One. That's cool, but that's a stumbling block concerning the Xbox One, Xbox Live rules, which currently prevent MMOs working across platforms. Yeah, that makes sense. With this Microsoft stuff, unless it's exclusivity, they don't really want it. But yeah, I'm going to have to give that a go, because I mean, I listen to Limit Break Radio all the damn time. And they talk about how Final Fantasy 14 is really, you know, because they're playing it and that. And I've got several people on my friends list for PlayStation who are playing, you know, playing 14. So I might have to give it a go. It's something to do, to be honest. But free trial, you know, that's going to be good. Sony warns of potential PlayStation 4 shortages in Europe. PlayStation boss says sales may be inventory challenged this Christmas. Sony Computer Entertainment CEO Andrew House has warned the potential of PlayStation 4 shortages in Europe this Christmas. If I look at Europe, it's potentially... one second. Fucking noise of the wind outside is pissing me off. If I look at Europe, I think it is potentially, for the second year running, going to be quite... God, the person who wrote this, don't put that many fucking exclamation marks in. Commas, I mean. Going to be quite inventory... fucking cunts. Inventory challenged... God, that's bullshit. I'm not going to say you won't be able to find a PlayStation, but I can fairly fucking say it. He's added, I think it's going to be kind of hard to mouth in terms of that market. Jesus Christ, he talks bullshit. PlayStation 4 launched in November 2013, before releasing in Japan this February. PlayStation 4 sales to retailers stood at 13.5 million units at the end of September. 10 million of those have been sold through the customers by August 12th. Of 2012. No. Hang on, what's that say? 10 million of those had been sold through to consumers by August 12th. Sony claims making the system one of the fastest selling consoles in history. Wait and see. But positioning PlayStation 4 as a gamer centric device has played a major role in the concern. Played a role in the console becoming the front runner in the last gen. Oh, for fuck's sake, I can't even read this shit. I need to clear my glasses. In the current gen sales race, but attracting more casual adopters may be key to Sony retaining its market lead over the coming years, according to PlayStation UK managing director Fergal Gara. But that's bullshit, though. I mean, yes, the PlayStation 4 did do better over the Xbox One, but it's because it was cheaper, and there wasn't a stupid camera in it. I mean, I know I've said this before on previous episodes. Yeah, I mean, yes, you know, PlayStation 4 jumped ahead in the sales. But that's because it was missing half the stuff that, you know, the Xbox One did, you know, including its massive price and a camera that did nothing that nobody wanted. But, you know, whatever. Where's that article? I found something on Destiny which I want to talk about, which is makes me quite funny. Here we go. Yeah, this is from Eurogamer. Destiny has had just shy of 30 million players, but how does Bungie's shooter compare to the gaming's biggest hitters? Around 13 million people have played Divisive. God, my throat is really killing me tonight. What the hell's wrong with me? I'll start again. Around 30 million people have played diversive online first-person shooter Destiny since its launch in September. Developer Bungie has revealed. Well, no shit, of course you've just said it. That's... Oh, hello. 12,869,066 players, to be exact, as of the end of last week. Bungie said in the weekly update, it'll be more now. Of course it will. 22,932,276 Guardians have been created, Bungie says. Guardians are the game's... We don't know. It says Guardians are the game's super soldier playable characters. Well, no shit. You make it 3 per account. Over 500 people are working on the game. It's downloadable content, and of course, Destiny 2. Bungie added other stats. Atheon, the boss of the Vault Glasses raid, has been defeated 2.4 million times. Crota, the boss of Crota's End, has been defeated paltry 769 times, but the DLC, The Dark Below, only launched early in December. Activision has reportedly spent a whopping $500 million getting Destiny off the ground, had high hopes for the game, but it has yet to announce an exact sales figure. Well, if you've got 30 million people playing it and you just times that by, you know, $60, £40, you know, and €60, yeah, you're about to have a number there. Well, a big one, hopefully. Where was I? Oh, here we go, yeah. So how does... There's more. It has said that the biggest new IP launch of all time, beating out Ubisoft's Watch Dogs back in October, Bungie said Destiny had 3.2 million daily players. So how does Destiny compare to the other games' other big hitters? With an incredible 67 million people play MOBA League of Legends every month, according to developer Riot Games, 27 million people play every day. It's the most played game in the world, which, yeah, good for it. I don't care. You know, I mean, I talked about this last week when I did the whole sat down, watch those documentaries. You know, League of Legends, it's fun, but it seems exact same game as Dota 2. Sorry, Valve's MOBA... Dota 2, comfortably the most played game on Steam, had 9.8 million unique players in the last month. Perhaps a comparison with those games is unfair, as they're free to play and supported by microtransactions. Destiny is a full price game, does not include any microtransactions as of yet. Yeah, as of yet. I mean, I'd probably pay something for Strange Coins, but I say I haven't played Destiny in weeks, so that's my interest in it gone out the window. Activision is yet to offer updated sales engagement figures for Call of Duty. Now Advanced Warfare is out in the wild, but in 2011, when the sales were at its peak, it enjoyed 40 million monthly active users. That number will no doubt be lower now, but still comfortably ahead of Destiny is Activision's most popular gaming series. Let's speak about Call of Duty there for, you know, the amount of players still playing it compared to, you know, Bungie and all that sort of stuff with Destiny. I'd love to know how many people numbers per game are. You know, I want to see how many are still playing, who are playing Advanced Warfare, still playing it. How many are playing, like, Black Ops, Black Ops 2, Ghosts. I want to see that sort of, you know, monthly, you know, unique players playing it. It really interests me, that would. Here we are. MMO World of Warcraft, at last count, over 10 million subscribers, a figure boosted by the recent sales of the expansion Warlords of Draenor. During FIFA 15's first week on sale, the football game surpassed 3.4 million unique players in one day, a record for the franchise, EA said. The company has said nearly 50% more players played FIFA 15 online compared to the FIFA 14 last year. Destiny figures are dwarfed by Minecraft. An incredible 17.6 million people bought the PC Mac version of the game alone. In February, developer Mojang revealed the sandbox had 100 million registered users. And as of 10th of October 2014... The game has sold approximately 60 million copies across all platforms. And yeah, I'm one of them. I bought, you know, Minecraft when it was on the PlayStation. Excuse me, on the Xbox 360. And this for one, for good measure, DayZ, creator Dean Hall told recently the standalone version has enjoyed over 3 million players. That's pretty cool. So there you have it. Destiny is undoubtedly doing well when it comes to the player count. Although it's got some way to go before it hits the heights of gamers' biggest series, and we're still waiting for the sales figure from Activision. I guess that's good. I mean, it's a way to go, but you've still got, you think about how well it's doing compared to other stuff like, you know, League of Legends, Dota 2, but to be honest, they are, as I said in the article, it says they are free-to-play games, so how they do is, compared to other games, is dependent on various different factors. What have we got? Here we go, yeah. It's like Star Warsy. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic launches on Android. Widely considered one of the greatest role-playing games of all time, has finally launched on Android. It's on the Google Play Store for... God, my voice is going. £3.20, and that's 50% off for the launch. This version, according to the game's description, is the full KOTOR experience and has not been slimmed down for mobile. So developer Aspyr Media warned, be patient while downloading the file weighs in at 2.4 gigs. Aspyr has done some work to make the Android version more palatable. It streamlined the user's interface for touchscreens, popped in full HD controller support, while those who prefer the original controller scheme, and added achievements. KOTOR, first developed by BioWare, is set 4,000 years before the Galactic Empire, at the time when hundreds of Jedi's are fighting the Sith. During the course of the game, you get to decide whether to follow the light side of the Force or the dark side. KOTOR requires Android 4.1 and up. I'd love to play this on my phone, but I'm just sort of looking at my phone now. It's a phone. So basically, I need some sort of Android-y tablet device to play this, but I'm surprised why this game wasn't relaunched as a, you know, Xbox Classic, you know, for some reason. I mean, I don't think it was. I mean, if it was, I would have bought it straight away, but I don't know. I mean, I loved Knights of the Old Republic. It was a really good game, and yeah, second one wasn't too bad. It was bad, but it wasn't that bad. But I mean, I don't even know how well the new one's doing. The online one. I have no idea how that's doing these days. I mean, I think it got an expansion, but it's one of those things. Unless you're part of the community, I don't really hear much about it, to be honest. Here we go. This is interesting. As I like Lego, 3.5 years and $7,000 later, Halo's Pillar of Autumn built were using Lego. It took 3.5 years and $7,000, but finally we have a huge Halo spaceship made out of Lego. The Pillar of Autumn is perhaps the Halo series' most famous spaceship, so it's only right that the virtual UNSC was targeted for real-life realization via Lego. It's the work of one Lee Jones, who also made Tolkien's Balrog and recreated Neo's final battle with Agent Smith from the Matrix movies, which I'd love to go and see. Oh, well, I say that he's got a thing to click on for images, which I'll do later after the show. So what happened to the Lego Pillar of Autumn, according to Jones? The build suffered damage on its way home from a showing in Seattle and will be destroyed. A new ship will rise in its place, he said, but from a different universe than the Halo. From a different universe than the Halo universe. So basically, they built this ship and it looks amazing. But that's such a waste, though. You know, you went to all this time and money and effort to make this, and, you know, But, well, just looking forward to see what this new ship he's making is. But, yeah, it looks pretty fucking cool. I'm just looking at the pictures on the screenshot. Awesome. Really does look good. Okie dokie, let's find some more news for you lot. here we go. Now, this is something which I'm interested in, because I watched the trailer for this. It's really awesome. Life is Strange, Episode 1 release date. Something that stood apart at Gamescom 2014 was Life is Strange. The new game, an episodic series by Parisian developer Dortmund, who may not be you may remember for making Remember Me. It's a game without combat, an adventure game, and it has a time rewind feature for undoing mistakes as when it was manipulating puzzles and dialogue. It's got a female lead, and it's all about character interaction, and it's mysterious like Twin Peaks. It also got that eye-catching paintery style and relaxing autumnal mood. Oh, fuck knows what that word is. And Episode 1, we now know, will be released on the 30th of January on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, Xbox One, at a reasonable price tag of £3.99. Or you could buy a season pass for £13.99. Or the complete... what's that? Hang on. I don't get... Oh, I see. Yeah, so basically, you could buy the first episode for £3.99, and then you just buy a certain season pass that does episodes 2 to 5 for £13.99, or you just buy the complete season for £15.99. But yeah, I watched this, and it looks quite like what we're getting with the Walking Dead and the Game of Thrones episodic stuff. But this game looks really good and very interesting, and I'm looking forward to playing it, because it's one of those... It's pain, actually, because I'm like... Well, I mean, I might, you know, just buy the complete season and just wait until all the episodes are out, and then just hold it off until then, and like I did with The Walking Dead, I waited till everything was out, and then it went on sale, so I'm like, okay, first episode free, just pay for the, you know, half price for the rest of the stuff. But this game looks really, really good, and, you know... It's something worth getting. It really is. Okay, let's find something else. It's so hard to talk now because my voice is really hurting me. Here we go. Let's go into more of the Final Fantasy stuff I was talking about. Yeah, Final Fantasy 14, Haven Sword expansion, adding two new jobs and races. Now, I have more info on this because I did listen to the recent Limit Break Radio where they talked about the... Tokyo Fan Fest. This is from IGN. Gamer Escape reports that last in a series of three fan festivals for the popular MMO, this one taking place in Tokyo, game director and producer Naoki Yoshida took to the stage to expand upon the details we already knew. First, it was announced that a new Aura race will introduce as the game's sixth playable race. They originated from the content of Othard and have some reptilian features thanks to the scale skin and long tails, though they also have horns sticking out the side of their heads. I'm guessing that's them in the picture. I don't know, but this, I mean, because Final Fantasy XIV looks amazing. It's one of the reasons I want to play it, but, you know, I just have, you know, trouble with the macros, that sort of stuff. It's sort of too PC-ish for me, to be honest. But I'm willing to give it a go. Anyone already playing the game will likely know Yuguri, and it seems she's still she'll be removing her mask in patch 2.5, revealing herself as an Aurora in the process. The two new jobs will be playable will be available when Heaven Sword launches. As well, neither of which will require a base class. The first, Astrologian, is a healing class that draws on the power of the stars to cast support spells using divination cards. Different combinations of these cards will create different effects. The second new job is the Machinist, a gunner-type class that provides ranged physical DPS. Oh, excuse me, just scratch my nose. You'll also be able to deploy mechanical turrets on the battlefield to attack enemies from multiple angles and support your teammates. Both of these jobs join the previous revealed Dark Knight as new additions for the expansion. I scrolled too far again. What was that say? A new raid was also revealed Alexander is a giant's old abandoned mechanical fortress in which the goblins have summoned a primal essence. He needs to be defeated from within, like coils of Bahamut. Alexander will be an in-game raid that's... but it'll have two modes. Normal, which is apparently like the echo-buffed coils, and hard, which is seriously tough. While we don't know more on the difference between the modes or anything about the lockouts and loot, we've also been told completion of the Final Fantasy final coil isn't needed if he's trying to tackle Alexander. I really should get into this game. Finally, Yoshida announced a new main theme that would be written for the game by legendary Final Fantasy composer Nobuo Uematsu, who we recently got a chance to speak to about his work. The entire thing was wrapped up with the unveiling of the game's collector's edition, which will come housed in a box with art by Yoshitaka Amano. A figure of a flying dragon mount is included, and though Yoshida wouldn't reveal its name just yet, we're told it's important to the game's story. Okay, that's cool. Other items in the collector's edition include an art book, a video disc, IGN useless cunts. They can't write for shit. As you'd expect, in-game items are included as well. These include a flying griffin mount, a Dark Knight headpiece inspired by Final Fantasy Cecil Baron Helm, and a wind-up Kane minion. As you can imagine, the physical version will cost a pretty penny, but a digital-only version will be available should be a lot cheaper. Well, hopefully, yes, because it's digital. But yeah, I say I really am tempted to get into the Final Fantasy 14. It just means I'll have to, put other games on hold for a while, which I don't mind doing. I mean, I did that, years ago when I played Final Fantasy 11 for about a month while I enjoyed it for a bit. Here we go. Some GTA stuff, as it's the Christmas season. We have some Christmas updates from GTA Online, which I got to try. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I completely forgot about this. I got to transfer, because you could transfer your characters over. I transferred my whole character from my Xbox to my PlayStation. So which is great. I got access to the best apartment you can get in the game, and all that money that I had left over, and now it's available on my PlayStation 4 version of Grand Theft Auto, which is really cool. But yeah, I've got to see some of this stuff. The latest patch for GTA 5 has gone live today, bringing with it a festive surprise update to the GTA Online, as well as a host of Christmassy content. The patch also applied a few tweaks to the world. The main one being that players who are literally rolling around on beds made of money can now own up to 3 separate properties and expand their housing empire. Oh, sorry, if you want to have more garages, I'm guessing. As you can see above from the pictures, your apartment is now decked out with a Christmas tree and a stack of presents. What else is new? Click through the screens, through all the sides, and see what will be revealed. Let's have a look at these pictures. Yeah, there's... new weapons, a homing launcher and proximity mines have been added to the ammunition stock in both single player and online. Oh, that's cool. The homing launcher fires rockets that lock onto your designed target, and the proximity mines detonate when approached, so you can use them to set traps, which it would come in very helpful in later parts of the levels. God, yeah, the homing launcher. I've got to buy that. Hang on, how much does that cost? Let's have a look. Hang on one sec. Yes, $70,000, I guess. That's pretty cool. I wonder how much the missiles cost. The vehicles they got. Yeah, new vehicles. All available through the Southern San Andreas Super Autos website. 4 new vehicles have been added to the single player and online. The Bravado Rat Truck and the Rapid Slam Van and an old school utility chic. Old school utility chic. Whereas the... Dubisi and the Massacaro and the Dinka Jester are high-end race cars that provide some serious speed for a price. Let's have a look what else we got. Oh, here we go, clothing. New outfits. If you want to look the part this Christmas, then head to the nearest clothes store. and where seven festive outfits have been added, as well as several sets of winter PJs. You can also dress up as Santa Claus, an elf, or a classic Christmas pudding. Gingerbread Man, which looks pretty cool. New masks. Vespucci Movie Masks by the Beach has received a new stock in the form of 10 face coverings, as well as the usual Santa Claus, elf, and snowman get-ups. You can also take the appearance of an angry penguin, or our personal favourite, the Gingerbread Man. Okie dokie, that's pretty cool. The Gingerbread Man looks really good. There we go. Showed one of the penguin, which looks pretty cool. Tattoos as well. Yeah, new tattoos. The Zions may not be festive, but if you have head to a tattoo parlor, you'll find a wealth of new ink to adorn your avatar with. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. That's some good stuff for the Christmas update. Christmas update. There we go. Let's have a look. What else we got? Here we go. Some stuff on Dying Light. Why Dying Light? Hang on. I'm going to save this one for next week, to be honest, because one, my throat is hurting me like a motherfucker, and this will be more interesting when I talk about the stuff I'm excited for next year. Let's have a look. What else we got? Star Citizen. Yes. This game. I say this one, and I think it's... Oh, what the hell is it? Exile... Some other space one looks pretty cool. This is from Eurogamer. Star Citizen progress continues with Arena Commander 1.0 launch. Star Citizen's designer Cloud Imperial Games has launched the Arena Commander 1.0, the latest version of the space game's dogfighting module. Arena Commander lets players get used to their ships in free flight mode and battle computer controller ships and other players. 1.0 marks a significant milestone in development of the game and adds a lobby system and triples the number of flyable ships in Arena Commander. They need to rechange the commander thing. It doesn't make sense. Every variant of the Aurora, Mustang, 300 and Hornet and the base models of the Cutlass and the Avenger are now flyable. Previously, many of the Star Citizen's virtual spaceships, some of which cost hundreds of pounds, could only be viewed in the player hangars. For more on ships, check up blah blah blah. The lobby, Star Citizen's first arrives alongside an in-game friend system that helps players connect. The update also adds a ship signature system, a thruster power system, and the latest G-Force system. Expect new animations, textures, and cameras. The patch notes are over at Robert Space Industries website. There we go. If I can say that properly. The CIG has divided up Star Citizen into six distinct parts. An aforementioned hangar and Arena Commander modules are available now. Still in production. Are a first-person shooter module. A story-based Squadron 42 module, a planet-side module, and tying it all together, a persistent universe, basically. But this game looks fucking awesome. I've got a major boner for this game. I really do. I mean, I'm never going to play it, because it's probably like high-end spec PC, which I'm never going to have, but this game looks awesome. It really does. God, this game looks beautiful. Look at it. God. Looks so amazing. Sorry, I'm just staring at one screen. It's like a start of a video. I'll watch it later. I literally, once I finish uploading the show, I will watch it later because this looks so awesome. What we got? Let's have a look. Try and find something else. Here we go. This is nice. From Eurogamer, this is GTA 5's PC in final stages. And how about a new Red Dead? Let's read this original story first before we go into the update. Do any of you read GTA 5 questions match those Rockstar answered on its blog? There's even one about a new Red Dead. So where the heck is GTA 5 on the PC? We're presently in... Oh, God, my throat's killing me. We're presently in the final stages of development on the PC version of Grand Theft Auto 5, and I hope it's I hope to have confirmed official assistant requirements to share soon in the coming week. Can I transfer GTA Online progress to PC? Yes, and from other, any platform. Can I have GTA 5 on PlayStation 3 and 360? No, those machines don't have enough memory to cope with all the new animations. Will you only make first-person experience now? No, apparently not. Absolutely not. Rockstar is committed to third-person views, but likes to give people options. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's nice to have the first-person option with GTA 5, but it's so much better in third-person. Heists took ages. Rockstar's sorry about that and has a small Christmas present prepared to apologise with. What, like snow? Potentially, we prefer to keep such things a little as a surprise, but without giving them details away, we do have a few seasonal treats in the works for players on all four systems to enjoy this coming holiday season in the GTA Online. I really need to get into some GTA Online, I really do. Will PlayStation 3 and 360 audiences be looked after? Yes, there are some new updates coming soon. In addition to heists, at some point in the future, there may be a point where we reach the limits of the previous generations of consoles, as there may be some updates that are only technically possible on the new hardware. But we do hope to continue delivering as many updates as we can for all four consoles as long as possible. So how about a new Red Dead? As we've mentioned when asked in the past about new games and other services such as Red Dead Redemption, Bully and LA Noire, we don't always rush to make sequels, but that does not mean we won't get to them eventually. We have so many games we want to make, and the issue is always one of bandwidth and timing. Which, I mean, LA Noire, we don't need a sequel to. Bully, people would like one too, but I mean, Red Dead's the thing we need to see a sequel to. You know, that's what people want to play. Oh, God. All right, let's read this update. Rockstar has revealed the secret Christmas surprise for GTA Online players. It's a bunch of things, including Christmas trees, snow, snowball fights, Christmas jumpers, festive long johns. It's basically the bullshit I read out earlier. More importantly, there are proper things like new vehicles and weapons, which I read out. There will be special holiday crate drops. There will be gifts on Christmas Day in your apartments. Oh, that's cool, because I'm not going anywhere Christmas Day. I'll stay in and play some GTA Online. There'll be a firework launcher and firework rocket ammo to lighten up the festive sky. The Christmas themed stuff will be available until 5th of January. The vehicles and weapons will be permanent. That's pretty cool. Let's find what else I can talk about. I'm just so much trouble because my voice is killing me. Oh, here we go. Pac-Man restaurant themed restaurant is in Chicago, or coming to Chicago. Dubs level 257 after the kill screen of the classic arcade game. Publisher Namco Entertainment seems to be going for a very peculiar flavor with some somewhat nutty proposition. Level 257's official site described the upcoming eatery as a high-end 180-seat restaurant. excuse me. Eatery as a high level. Yeah, I've read that bit. Sorry. Where was I? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. The publisher boasted that level 257 will contain fantastic and comfortable bars and lounges with fire pits, giant red leather booths, and a separate sports bar that all feature a wide selection of craft beers, sommelier curated drinks, specifically selected wines and cocktails. So far, it sounds bewilderingly fancy. Then Namco noted that it will also include 16 boutique retro-style bowling lanes with smart technology, table tennis, pinball machines, and our lost and found games parlor with original arcades alongside existing exciting new titles, plus custom-built games and table free-to-play board games. But hey, just because arcade parlors and sommelier curated drinks haven't typically gone together before doesn't mean they can't. Level 257 seeks to explore Pac-Man's impact upon our social and pop culture, reminding us all of the importance of play in our lives, while facilitating our desire to relieve those times when beating the next level was the most important thing in our world. Namco said in its announcements, all while indulging what could be in what? Sorry, that's where was I? Oh, yeah, all while indulging that which we love now. Great food and drink with our friends and family. The Chicago Tribune noted that Level 257 will launch next May for Pac-Man's 35th anniversary. Amazingly, this isn't the most bonkers thing Namco has done with the Pac-Man brand recently, as Pac-Man's 30th anniversary party, Marvel Studios founder A.V. Arad announced a desire to make a Pac-Man cartoon dealing with the real-life issues and social causes of the 21st century. And that sounds fucking boring. But yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff, because Pac-Man's got his own cartoon and all sorts of stuff. But, I mean, the most fun I had was Pac-Man was that Pac-Man DX we got a while ago for on the Xbox. I think it's on PlayStation as well. But it's a really fun game. I'm going to start to wrap the show up now, because my voice is killing me and I can barely talk. But yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. I'll say only a couple minutes early anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, don't forget as well, you want to interact with the show, you can email me. It's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. You can join the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. And you can also follow us on Twitter. Don't forget as well, next week it is the Game of the Year edition show. One of the ones I'm really looking forward to doing, because there's tons of stuff to talk about. So hopefully my voice is much better next week. It should be, hopefully. But yeah, so basically make sure you get your entries in for what you think will be, you know, what you're telling me your Game of the Year is and what you're looking forward to seeing next year for 2015. I think that's pretty much it, really. Yeah, I say anything you're looking forward to, just let me know. Send me an email, send me a tweet. You know, join the Facebook group. You know, let me know there. Don't forget as well, next year, you know, it's literally the last show of the year this coming next week. You know, live events next year. Can't wait for that. It's going to be really good. So don't forget, coming up next after me is Alcohol Bar Villain with Kevin. Then you got My Time Now with... oh, he's going to kill me. With Johnny Five. And then don't forget Dutch and Royce, where yours truly might call in as long as I can wake up in time and my voice is much better. But yeah, so thanks for listening, everyone. Happy holidays. Hope you all have a good time with your family and all that sort of bollocks. And I will speak to you again next week, where I'll be telling you about all the games I didn't get for Christmas. See you soon. Take care, people. Have a happy holiday.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Well, my God, yeah, what a sure. Bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.